Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
Yes, you are. It's a Football Friday Live right here on Football Full Circle. He's the mastermind of the pigskin. That is Joe Lisi. I am Ben Stevens. Lisi guy, a ton to get to here on FFC. We're going to set the stage for Saturday and Sunday. College football, National Football League, week number 3, the third full Saturday of the year in CFB, week number 2, the second full Sunday of the year in the NFL. And Joe, week number 2 of the season in the National Football League, starting last night in Philadelphia. The Eagles pick up the offense in the second half, and they take control of the football game, 34-28, the victory for the Birds over the Vikings. Depending on when and where you got the number, Joe, either you were happy with the hook or hated the hook. Sometimes it giveth, other times it taketh. If you got it on a flat 6, a push, and hey, no damage, no harm done. But Lisi guy, the Eagles win by 6. Minnesota scores a late touchdown with just over a minute remaining to make it only a 6-point game. But in my mind, Joe, the Eagles had two different leads of 2 touchdowns twice in that second half. They were the dominant side against the Vikings last night in Philly.
Yeah, the offensive line got it done. You know, a new year, same result. Turnover prone for the Minnesota Vikings. They had opportunities earlier in the ballgame. The punt gets fumbled early on, and then Justin Jefferson going in for a potential touchdown. He fumbles through the end zone. Philadelphia responds. And at the end of the day, when you pound the rock, Ben, for over 200 yards in any game, college, high school, NFL, you're going to win matchups. And a fantastic effort by DeAndre Swift. It looked like he was back in Athens with 165 yards on the ground last night.
Certainly so. Only a single carry for DeAndre Swift in Philly's opener on the road in New England. He had 28 last night, Joe. We shared here on FFC yesterday before Thursday night football that DeAndre Swift's rushing attempts prop was 8.5. The over had plus money. Joe, by the time I got home later in the afternoon and actually bet what I advised, it was 7.5 and the over had the juice. I wish I would have listened to myself earlier on and got some plus money instead of paying -132 on the over, because it sailed over with 28 carries, 175 yards, and a touchdown. Good for DeAndre Swift as well, Joe. He is from Philadelphia. He was back in Philly, the home opener for the Birds, for the first time since winning the NFC Championship at Lincoln Financial Field last January. And there were a lot of fantasy owners out there, I'm sure, Joe, a lot of people that bet DeAndre Swift to score an anytime touchdown last night against the Vikings, that were yelling at their team with the butt push to get Jalen Hurts into the end zone twice and not giving it to Swift, who had done the dirty work to get him down there. He gets his touchdown in the fourth quarter to cash that ticket and cap off a spectacular night for Philadelphia.
Yeah, and that front 7, again, you can't run on Philadelphia. I'll tell you that right now. Fletcher Cox, Montez Sweat in terms of that front 7, Jalen Carter, Jordan Davis, doesn't matter. I mean, they roll out defensive tackles and edge rushers on each and every play. And at the end of the day, Ben, I mean, that is the MO for Philly, right? They wear you down. It's just over a period of time, their physicality takes over, and that's why they were able to win it last night. And on the flip side for Minnesota as well, now over 0-2. This was a team that won the NFC North last year. They're coming out of the gate very slow, lose a divisional game in week 1, lose to potentially the best team in the conference last night. Not looking good right now for Kevin O'Connell and the crew.
Last year, Minnesota, Joe, a 13-4 football team, 11-0 in single score games, 11 of their 13 wins by just a single possession. Now, a 3-point loss last week at home to Tampa Bay as a 4.5-point favorite, a 6-point loss by the end of the game box score. They are 0-2 in single score games. Regression was expected for the Vikes, and we're seeing that already following 2 weeks of this National Football League regular season for Minnesota. A welcome, by the way, to our Sirius XM audience here, channel 159. Sirius XM channel 159 is the home for Sports Grid Radio on Sirius XM. This is Football Full Circle. He's Joe Lisi. I am Ben Stevens. But Joe, I think when you look at the Birds, A.J. Brown wasn't all too pleased with the offensive game plan. He wanted more targets, 4 grabs, 29 yards last night. They haven't really aired it out just yet. Jalen Hurts hasn't even thrown for 200 passing yards this season in a game. A buck 70 against New England, a buck 90 last night against Minnesota. But when I look at it, Joe, a buck 93, excuse me, but when I look at it, Philadelphia has found ways to win in each of their first two games of this year. Philadelphia, the defending NFC title winners, is a perfect 2-0, and depending on where you got the numbers, Joe, either 1-0-1 against the spread or barely not missing their second consecutive cover by just a hook. This Philly team has only proved to me that they can win in multiple ways. The offense isn't even fully tooling yet under new OC Brian Johnson, and they're still 2-0 to start off their season. Joe, for me, Philadelphia deserves to be the favorites in the NFC. Right now it's San Francisco, 20 cents in front of the Birds.
Yeah, right. I couldn't agree more. And they won ugly, but at the end of the day, that's what you want to see, right? One tough road game against a good opponent in terms of Bill Belichick and the New England Patriots. Much tougher at home than they are on the road. And they grind out a very good game against Minnesota, even though they struggled early. That defense, I think, has been more consistent than people are giving them credit for. Offensively, you're right. There's going to be growing pains. When you have a new OC, there's always growing pains. He's starting to find his rhythm. He's starting to find his way. You saw the running attack take over in the second half of ball games, and if they can run it at will, that'll open up the play-action passing attack for A.J. Brown and obviously Devontae Smith.
Joe, there's some conversation, of course, about primetime Kirk Cousins. He falls to 12-21 now straight up in his career, 7-10 as the starter straight up for Minnesota, either 9-8 against the spread or 8-8-1 against the number. But when you look at it, Joe, it wasn't Kirk's fault last night. 31 of 44, 364 yards and 4 touchdown tosses. The Vikings as a team, only 28 yards on the ground. The issue for Minnesota, much like it was week number one against the Bucks, Joe, turnovers. 4 fumbles last night. Kirk did have one, and of course the crucial one at the end of the opening half. Justin Jefferson trying to find his way across the pylon. The ball is knocked loose. It goes out of bounds over that pylon. Thus, the rule in football, hate it, love it, indifferent about it, is a touchback for Philadelphia. The turnovers, though, overall, something Minnesota has to clean up, Joe. 3 turnovers, a pick and 2 fumbles last week against Tampa Bay. 4 turnovers here in this defeat against the Birds.
Yeah, you lose the turnover battle on the road, you're not going to win ball games. That's the bottom line. Rushing attack really wasn't there with Alexander Mattison as well. So at the end of the day, they're in the hole. Now, we'll see if they could pull out. I think O'Connell's on the hot seat. Even though we took them to a divisional playoff game last year in a wild card, they still lost. This team needs to do better, Ben.
Yeah, certainly need to do better. And if the Vikings were expecting that luck to regress, we have already seen an 0-2 start, winless so far in both of their games, decided by a single score. And now Minnesota, Joe, when it comes to the NFC North, a division they won last year and entered with the second best price, third best number currently at plus 500. We'll set up the Sunday slate next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
We are live right here on Football Full Circle. Week number two of the NFL regular season is now officially underway. Joe, we have 12 games on this Sunday slate. 13 games on Sunday. A doubleheader on Monday, of course, Thursday night football. The Eagles victorious. A 2-0 start for Philadelphia this year. An 0-2 record for Minnesota at this moment. Let's fire through the Sunday slate, Joe, and hit every game we possibly can. We start in Atlanta, where we've seen a line flip, Joe Lisi. The Green Bay Packers were the slight road favorite, 1.5 on the spread. As of yesterday, that number was minus 108 on the money line for both the Dirty Birds and the Pack. Now, Atlanta's a home favorite, laying 1.5 minus 126 on the money line. Lisi, do you agree with that favorite flip?
Well, Christian Watson, Aaron Jones are out for this ballgame, right? So more pressure now on Green Bay. But I still think they match up well against Des Ridder and the Atlanta Falcons, not just from an offensive perspective, but from a defensive perspective as well. I don't believe Des Ridder could challenge them over the top. I know they were able to grind out a victory against Carolina last week with a rookie quarterback in terms of Bryce Young. This, to me, is a different animal. Look for Jordan Love to make some plays on the ground as well. I look for A.J. Dillon to have a big day. I think Green Bay strikes the upset, Ben. This is one of my better picks for the weekend.
I do as well, Joe. I'm not really all that enthused with Atlanta, and I don't think I really saw much last week out of this Falcons team to make me any more confident or change my tune. I thought the Falcons had a lot of optimism entering this season, Joe. 8.5, the win total, the over had the juice. Some thought they could contend for the NFC South. They beat an NFC South divisional foe last week handily, covering as a 4.5-point favorite at home, 24-10 the final, over Bryce Young in his first NFL start in the Carolina Panthers. But then you look at why the public, I would say, Joe, or a lot of people are optimistic about the Falcons, and it's the offense, right? Bijan Robinson didn't do all that much. Tyler Allgeier actually had more touches than he did. Bijan showed you some flashes, no doubt. A wonderful touchdown pass on a screen design, making a man miss, running through two more Panthers defenders on his way into the end zone. Drake London, talented young wide receiver. Kyle Pitts, hopefully he wakes up at some point. But my question was always the quarterback distributing the football. I don't really know if Desmond Ridder is the guy for this Atlanta team. Last week, Joey did what was asked of him. 15 of 18, didn't turn the football away. 115 yards. And a touchdown toss, that one to Bijan Robinson. I just don't think that's enough, Joe. And I believe this Packers defense, despite the injuries offensively, will show that on Sunday. I like the Packers outright now with a little bit of plus money, plus 108. I'll tell you what else I like outright, Joe. The Chicago Bears, plus 122 on the money line into Tampa Bay on Sunday. I think this is one of the spots, Joe, where the market has moved just a tad too much based on what happened in week number one to where things actually should be in week number two. Don't get me wrong. Chicago was abysmal against Green Bay. Questions about Justin Fields? More questions about the Bears defensively. They allowed the Packers to score 38 points. They were the league's worst scoring defense last year through the entirety of the regular season. Tampa goes on the road. They beat Minnesota outright as a 4.5-point underdog in Minneapolis. They're back home. Baker Mayfield showed us something. They were a 3-point favorite, Joe, when this line opened up. Now the market's starting to work back on Chicago. Give me the Bears money line plus 122.
Yeah, great minds think alike. I'm with you.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not sold on Tampa Bay. And again, how much was that in terms of the regression of Minnesota as it was to Baker Mayfield and that offense? And I understand he put up over 200 yards, two touchdowns through the air. But Minnesota was completely one-dimensional, handed Tampa Bay short fields. And at the end of the day, I'm with you. I think Justin Fields and that offense can exploit them. Now, everybody talks, oh, he has weapons. He has weapons. DJ Moore, two catches for 25 yards. That's not a weapon. You need to give him speed. Now, that being said, they still pounded the rock on Green Bay last week for a buck 22 and 4.2 yards per carry. I think it's Justin Fields on the ground. I think it's him through the air. And again, I'm not sold on Todd Bowles and this defense. Playing at home, their favorite. Give me the outright win. Chicago dominates Tampa Bay in this ballgame.
The Bears still allowed Justin Fields to be sacked four times, Joe, 55 times last year, tied for the most in the NFL alongside Denver's Russell Wilson. That's got to be an issue. And my main concern with Justin Fields is not the quarterback himself, but the offensive scheme and play calling. Luke Getsy doesn't seem to really understand or get, dare I say, who he has playing quarterback. Dink, dunk, screen passes behind the line of scrimmage, nothing down the field. Allow Justin Fields to open it up, take off the reins and find the dividends. Justin Fields, by the way, Joe, his passing yards prop, 169.5 against the Bucs. Again, it's flat out disrespectful. It was 178.5 last week against the Packers. He threw for 216 yards. The Bucs had 344 passing yards allowed last week, and the Vikings threw it 44 times. Give me the over 169.5 on Justin Fields. They're going to give you the discount until things change in Chicago. Justin Fields needs to be the face of the franchise to prove he is the future. He's got to go over numbers like 169.5. All right, Joe, another NFC North team on the card early on Sunday. The Lions, a 4.5-point favorite against the Seahawks at home, the home debut in the Motor City, the over-under 47.5. Lisey, these two teams have put up points the last two times they have played, 80-plus in their last two meetings, including more than 90 last year in what was the highest-scoring regular season game in the National Football League a season ago. Detroit goes on the road, Lisa Guy. Opening night of the year, beats the defending champs in their home stadium in Arrowhead 21-20 over Kansas City. They were an underdog that day. Now they're the favorites. Will they live up to that expectation?
Absolutely, and I think Seattle's in a major regression. Again, that defense for Detroit was able to hold down Kansas City and Pat Mahomes even without Travis Kelce. Doesn't matter. That's still a lethal passing attack. And at the end of the day, they forced turnovers and won that ballgame 21-20. You saw Geno Smith, after they threw the touchdown against L.A. in the first quarter and first half last week, they didn't really put together a lot of drives. Now they go on the road. The rushing attack wasn't there with Kenneth Walker last week. And again, I think Detroit's the better team. Laying a 5.5-point number, I think they roll in this ballgame. Lean to the under, though, in this matchup, Ben.
This game last year was also in Detroit, the opening Sunday in October, 48-45, the final. Seattle actually did ultimately pull out the victory. Detroit needs to be better, Joe. One of the worst scoring defenses all year long in the NFL last year. Maybe they show that here against the Seahawks. The Bills, Joe, as the odds would say, expected to bounce back in their home opener in Orchard Park on Sunday afternoon, hosting the Raiders. Buffalo an 8.5-point favorite, the total at 47. Joe, this is an interesting one because the Raiders went on the road last week in Denver, won outright. I think you can make an argument Buffalo was perhaps the most disappointing team of week number one in a game without Aaron Rodgers after the fourth offensive play for New York. They should have cruised to a two-score victory. They did not. Josh Allen turned it over four times, three INTs, and a crucial fumble. Joe, the odds expect Buffalo to bounce back. Do you?
Yes, and I think the over happens. Now, the lines and the ATS numbers, I think there's one out there. Carver showed it to me in terms of Twitter. You know, every time Josh Allen turns the football over three times since, like, I think, what, 2019, 2020, he's like 7-0 straight up and against the number, and he's won by like 19.1 points per game. That's what I expect. You know, the Las Vegas, the back-to-back games, and going now to the East Coast, the inability for Jimmy Garoppolo to challenge that defense over the top with Devontae Adams nicked up. I think they stacked the box, take away Josh Jacobs. I lean to Buffalo, Ben, but I really like the over. I think this total gets into the high 50s Saturday afternoon.
47 is that total. At least he will continue to fly around the week two slate coming up here next, but I'll lead us into the break with this. I have no idea how to handicap the Chargers and the Titans in Tennessee on Sunday. The Bolts, a 3-point road favorite, the total 45.5. Lisey, I think I'm looking up and down the week two slate. A lot stands out to me. This one, I have no idea. Hopefully the mastermind of the pigskin, Joe Lisey, does. Find out next on FFC.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
All right, Lisi guy, you've had about a 2.5 minute commercial break to think all about it. The Chargers, a 3-point road favorite in Nashville against the Titans this weekend, the over under 45.5. I really have no idea how to read this football game. Joe, I really do think there's some spots in week two where the odds have shifted too much based on a small result of week number one, and you can take advantage. Or I agree with the odds, and I think they tell a true tale of what these teams look like this week, the week to come, the week after, and the rest of the season. Here between the Chargers and the Titans in Nashville on Sunday, I have no clue.
Yeah, I mean, I lean to the Chargers here. I like the Chargers, even though it's, again, West Coast to you know, Northeast in that situation, South for Tennessee and Nashville. I still think the Chargers are the side. I have no confidence in terms of the Tennessee Titans. Outside of Derrick Henry and a little Tajay Spears, this offense is completely predictable. They can't push, you know, teams vertically down the field with Ryan Tannehill, a human turnover machine last week against New Orleans. At the end of the day, if the game is on the line, who do you want, you know, leading that team from behind? Is it Justin Herbert or is it Ryan Tannehill? And even though Austin Eckler's not there, I still believe that L.A. could put up points on this Tennessee Titan defense. So we'll see how it plays out. It's not going to be easy, but you got to feel that the Chargers take away Derrick Henry in the rushing attack and force Tannehill to beat them over the top, and that's been the Achilles heel for the last 2 years now with Tennessee. No threat of a passing game.
Yeah, I would only look at one area, and when the attempts number comes out for Justin Herbert, passing attempts that is, I'd take the over. He only threw it 33 times last week, so maybe you get a discounted number for a guy that averaged more than 41 passing attempts per game last year in the regular season. He only went under 33, which was his passing attempts number, not the prop, but just the overall attempts last week. He only had less than that, Joe, on three different occasions out of 17 regular season games last season. So that's where I would look for LA. That's a key number three. Here's another key number three: the Bengals and the Ravens in Cincy. Joe, Cincinnati can ill afford to start off the year 0-2 with two consecutive losses against divisional foes. Baltimore banged up. The Bengals need a victory, a 3-point spread, the over-under 46.5. Joe, what's the thought?
Yeah, I'm laying it with Joey Ice, Joey Silk in this ballgame. I think it's a bounce-back spot. Again, he didn't play well last week, first game back from the calf injury, but at the end of the day, playing in the jungle, I think Cincinnati's the side. Now, this is a rematch of the playoff loss for Baltimore last year with Huntley on the helm, right? He fumbled that matchup. Now it's Lamar. I like the total. 46.5. I think both teams are going to look to chuck it. At the end of the day, we could have one of the highest scoring games in terms of this matchup. I thought it would be Cincinnati-Cleveland last week. It wasn't, and I still think that Cincinnati can move the ball on that secondary of Baltimore, which I believe is a little suspect.
They have to do so, right? He only threw Joey Ice, Joey Silk, Joey B, whatever you call him, for 82 yards last week in his first game after being made the richest man in the history of the National Football League. Has to be so much better than that this week, and you would assume it is. 259.5 is the passing yards prop for Joe Burrow already. I am interested to see, Joe, what the numbers look like offensive production-wise for Baltimore on Sunday in Cincy. No J.K. Dobbins, of course, a torn Achilles, out for the year. But more importantly, Joe, for me, the offensive line already dealing with considerable injuries. The second-year center, Tyler Linderbaum, out of Iowa. He's going to be on the sideline. More than likely so is Ronnie Staley for the flock. Can Cincinnati take advantage? And what does the new-look offense for the flock look like under Todd Monken? Two rookie quarterbacks, Joe, facing off in our next game to break down, the Texans and the Colts in Houston. Both teams lost by double digits last week. Anthony Richardson and the Colts at home in the opener against Jacksonville, although the final score probably not truly indicative of how competitive that game was for about 3.5 quarters. The Texans lost to Baltimore 25-9 last week in Baltimore. Houston, a 1.5 favorite, -126 on the money line. 39.5 is the total. Joe, tell me, which rookie QB, Anthony Richardson for Indy, CJ Stroud for Houston, Houston gets their first NFL career win.
I think it's C.J. Stroud. I think it's C.J. Stroud and the Texans. Again, that was not a bad effort against Baltimore, and I know that they were held to basically 9 points in that matchup, but C.J. Stroud, to me, threw over his passing total in terms of that matchup. I like his big play ability, and at the end of the day, just don't have enough confidence in the playmakers around Anthony Richardson to potentially pull that ball game out, even though it's a very tight spread. I might go over in this total as well. It's 40. A flat 39.5, 40, Ben? I mean, come on. So give me the Texans at home laying the short number and over the 39 and a hook.
Joe, last week, Anthony Richardson was the leading rusher for Indianapolis. I think he probably more than most wants Jonathan Taylor back healthy, happy, and along his side. Of course, JT on the IR will not be out there until at least week number 5, but he was the leading rusher, 10 carries, 40 yards, and a touchdown. I would look for Anthony Richardson plus 200 to find the end zone. The rushing yards prop already up from 38.5 earlier this morning to 40 and a hook. All right, Joe, a good one in Jacksonville on Sunday. A divisional round rematch between Kansas City and the Jags in Duval County. The Chiefs a 3.5-point favorite. The over-under 51.5, Joe. Both Travis Kelce and Chris Jones expected to be back for the Chiefs in playing in this football game. Does KC respond from the opening night loss in Arrowhead?
No, Duval County, crazy things happen. Give me the mild upset with Jacksonville as a 3.5-point underdog. I like Jacksonville. Granted, they were pushed to the limit by a rookie quarterback. They trailed 21-17, score, obviously, and win that ball game 31-21. At the end of the day, very impressed in terms of the rushing attack. Tank Bigsby, love Travis Etienne, dynamic 1-2 combo, and Calvin Ridley looks phenomenal right now, right? Big touchdown reception. Trevor Lawrence, you know it. Duval County, Ben. I'm not sold on the offensive consistency of Kansas City, even with Kelce coming back. How much of a loss is Eric Bieniemy? I mean, you know, we talk about new coordinators for Philadelphia, even though it's Andy Reid and Matt Nagy. I mean, there's a lack of continuity potentially on the road in this matchup. You never know.
Yeah, he was the offensive coordinator in Kansas City, Joe, from 2016 to 2017, a part of Andy Reid's coaching staff for a few years before that, and, of course, was the quarterback's coach for Patrick Mahomes last year. But when he was in Kansas City before becoming the head coach in Chicago, Alex Smith was his quarterback. But I don't think there's going to be any offensive issues. In fact, I think Kansas City runs it up on Jacksonville this weekend. Alternate spread, KC -6.5 and +142. I think having Travis Kelce back, keeping Kadarius Toney on the sideline, and Chris Jones anchoring the interior of that defensive line, give me the Chiefs -6.5. But I will say this, Joe, for Jacksonville, when the props become available, if it's still in the mid-60s for Calvin Ridley, take the over. 8 grabs, 11 targets, 101 yards, and a touchdown last week for Trevor Lawrence and the Jaguars. I think he's going to be T-Law's favorite target all year. Give me the over there. All right, next up, Joe. Rams, Niners. San Francisco on the road in Los Angeles, a touchdown favorite. You might be saying, well, that's a big spread in favor of the 49ers. Joe, earlier this week, San Francisco was an 8.5-point favorite against Los Angeles. Now some buyback once again for the Rams. Are you agreeing with what the market is saying?
I am, because I jumped on an 8 number. So I'm sitting on an 8 with the L.A. Rams, and I know the numbers are staggering. Kyle Shanahan, 7-0 over Sean McVay against the number. He's dominated them. They, you know, Brock Purdy's back, Brock Montana, whatever you want to say, gutty effort against Kenny Pickett and Pittsburgh. Defense forced turnovers. I think this is the game where we see just an average Brock Purdy. That defense for the L.A. Rams last week with Aaron Donald in terms of the front seven pressuring Geno Smith. We saw those secondary players lock down DK Metcalf in the passing attack. Don't be shocked if LA's in this ballgame from start to finish. I took them +8. Wouldn't be shocked, even though the numbers are going against them, if Stafford plays the way he did last week, 334, and they could run it with Kyron Williams and Cam Akers, they're going to be in this ballgame. I might call for the upset. You know what? LA outright.
Oh, I love it, Joe. I love the bravado. Plus 260 on the money line for the Rams. I think San Francisco wins. Not really sure what to do with this spread. I look at the Seahawk connection between Brock Purdy and George Kittle. Kittle, by the way, winning a bet that made Purdy, an Iowa State alum, walk out to his press conference yesterday with the Iowa mascot helmet on. That's what happens when you bet the Seahawk game and go with the Iowa State Cyclones. Anyway, Lisey guy, I think that Seahawk connection that was huge last year, 7 touchdown grabs for Kittle in the final 4 games of the regular season, the final 4 of 5 that Brock Purdy became the starter, pays off here again. George Kittle, anytime touchdown, plus 195. Keep an eye on the injury report, by the way, for LA, Joe. Puka Nacua, who obviously came on so strong last week, the rookie wideout out of BYU, 119 yards, was Stafford's favorite target without Cooper out there. Cooper Kupp listed as questionable. Joe, everybody rushed to the waiver wire in their fantasy league this week to pick up Nacua. He might not play week 2.
Yeah, that's going to put some pressure on them, right? That obviously would benefit San Francisco. I will just say this, though. Keep an eye out. You know, it's never good to mention gambling with Iowa and Iowa State in today's landscape. And you might want to temper that down a little bit as we enter week 2 of the NFL. But obviously, he's going to need both of those playmakers. Tutu Atwell is there. Look for Higbee. Higbee was an option in terms of the red zone as well last week.
Yeah, Brock Purdy following in the footsteps of Hunter Deckers, who is younger than Brock Purdy, but Iowa State quarterbacks not great at gambling. Stay away from the numbers and focus on the football. All right, we'll come back for a few more NFL previews of the Sunday slate before we turn our attention to college football. You can trust us with gambling next on Football Full Circle.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
All right, 4 more games to break down for the Sunday slate, Joe, before we turn our attention to Saturday and college football. Joe, are you expecting a big blue bounce back out of the New York Giants on the road in the desert? They're a 4.5-point favorite against the Arizona Cardinals. The over-under, a measly 39.5. Now, the Cardinals are expected to be the worst, if not one of the worst, teams in the National Football League this year, but the Giants looked like the worst football team last week. Zip, zero, zilch, nada, points scored against the Dallas Cowboys in their season opener on a Sunday night in MetLife. What do you think the Giants do, Joe, on the road in the desert week 2?
I think they could potentially win this ballgame from 14 to 17 points. I think it's a beatdown. I'm not sold on Arizona. Now, I will say a little concerned in terms of the line movement. It opened to 4.5, up to 6, I think, midweek. It settled back into 4.5. What potentially could be the reason in terms of the Arizona side? Forget the Giants side. I don't care if it's backups. I understand they're banged up on the offensive line. I get that. But at the end of the day, whether Waller plays, he doesn't play, there's way too many weapons in. They have the much better quarterback, Daniel Jones, in my opinion, with Brian Daboll on the road than Josh Dobbs in the first year head coach in terms of Gannon. So at the end of the day, I know that they covered the number last week. Arizona was on them. This is a different animal. Look for the Giants to break out. I think it's a complete 4-quarter game, and I think it's a double-digit win, Ben.
Yeah, Joe, I agree. Listen, the Cardinals got the benefit of the doubt last week, and rightfully so. They covered as a full touchdown underdog in the road in their opener when they're supposed to be the worst team in the NFL. A little bit more competitive, looked a little bit better than we all expected. But that was against the Commanders. And Washington is also a team with a win total of 6.5, at least prior to the year, and the under had the pretty hefty juice. I don't think the Commanders should be laying 7 points to anybody, so I'm not stealing from what Arizona did necessarily, but I think New York bounces back in a big way. I think they cover this 4.5-point spread as well. Speaking of New York, Joe, the Jets on the road Sunday in the Star. Obviously, it is now life without Aaron Rodgers. He had Achilles surgery earlier this week. The eyes on 2024, but Lisey guy, there's still 16 games left for the New York Jets in 2023, and if Sunday in the Star is any indication, in Dallas, it's going to be a really tough slate. A 9.5-point spread, Joe, in favor of the boys, a total of 38.5. It is the largest spread of week number two, nearly double digits in favor of Dallas. Joe, is the game more competitive, or does Dallas steamroll the Jets?
I think Dallas steps up. It might be competitive for a half, but I just don't see Zach Wilson being able to move the football on the front seven or the secondary of Dallas in this ballgame. I think it's too much Mazi Smith. I think it's too much of that front seven. Micah Parsons, I think, will be all over the field if they were able to get to Aaron Rodgers early and then Zach Wilson in that matchup. And I'm talking about Buffalo. I think Dallas is a carbon copy. I think they might potentially have a better front seven than the Bills right now. And at the end of the day, still like Dak Prescott going up against that defense. I know the defense stepped up against Josh Allen, but they can run the football. I think Dallas can, and something that Buffalo couldn't do on Monday night. So I like Dallas to win convincingly as well in this ballgame.
So I think the Jets actually can cover. I really do believe the Jets keep this game more competitive than 9.5 points. I don't think they win by maybe – I don't think they win this football game, and Dallas could still win by a touchdown. But, Joe, I'm not going to bet the 9.5. I'm going to look at the Jets and their defense being the reason why I think they're going to be competitive at all this year at any point, as Zach Wilson now finds his footing in a situation he never expected to be in. Dallas's offense didn't have to do much last week against the New York Giants, and they didn't. They won 40-0. I think Dallas's defense is dominant, and it's why I'm not betting the 9.5, Joe, and taking it with the Jets, because there's a world, in my estimation, where the Jets keep Dallas under their team total of 23.5, but the Cowboys still win 21-3, 21-6, 21-10, and you're not covering as that 9.5-point underdog. So I'm going to focus on the Dallas Cowboys under team total 23.5 points if I'm going to believe New York is going to be a little bit more competitive in this game than that 9.5-point spread. All right, one final
game.
It's a good look.
I mean, you know, you would hope that Sauce Gardner and that secondary could contain the passing attack of Dallas, put them into predictable long third downs, and then that front seven, if they could get some pressures and sacks. We know Dak Prescott could be, right, like Josh Allen was on Monday night, so you have to win the turnover battle. If Breece Hall and Dalvin Cook could get going in the rushing attack, that could take the pressure off of Zach Wilson as well.
Yeah.
So we'll see how it plays out. You know, this might be an area, Ben, right? We talk about games to potentially bet and not bet pre-kick. If you're looking to bet Dallas, you know, maybe wait a quarter. See if New York can run the football. Because I believe if they can't run the football, and let's just say it's no score in the first quarter, you might get Dallas at a 4.5 or 5-point number, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, that's something to monitor. Can the rushing attack get going? Because Breece Hall carried that team last week. If he's non-existent and they're, again, third and 12, third and 8, first quarter, but there's no score, I'll take my chances with Dallas if I can get a cheaper line than 9.5.
I think it's a really good look, Joe. I think the live betting approach to that football game in Dallas late on Sunday afternoon is a really good idea. The Commanders and the Broncos, Joe, our final game before we look at Sunday night football quickly. Denver laying 3.5 at home against Washington, a total of 39.5. The Broncos, of course, started off the season last week much like they did last year, losing outright at home, booked as a field goal favorite against Las Vegas. Joe, if there's a world where Washington wins this football game and the Broncos start 0-2, favored in both of their games, both at home in Mile High, what becomes of Russell Wilson and Sean Payton? What is this year going to look like for the Broncos? Or do you think we avoid those questions as Denver wins convincingly on Sunday?
No, you know, I mean, I don't love the game. This isn't a game I'm going to be betting. But again, I would take a shot with Washington right here because the line is fishy to me. I believe Denver's strictly, you know, a 3.5-point favorite because it is Washington and they're at home. I did not like the way Russell Wilson played. But assuming they do lose and they go to 0-2, again, a lot of pressure on Sean Payton. More pressure on Payton than Wilson because he attached his cart to Russell Wilson by backing him. And I said it throughout the offseason. When does the team turn their back on Payton and Wilson as a whole? They did it last year. If it's the same story because you have the same quarterback running the show that's not a team guy or a team player, what does that say in terms of the mindset or philosophy of Sean Payton? So we'll see. I mean, I hope for the Denver faithful they win, but I'm going the other way. I'll take a shot with Bieniemy and Sam Howell on the road, even though I don't love Ron Rivera.
Eric Bieniemy back in the state he played college football in. He knows Mile High pretty well. We'll speak about the Rocky Mountain State in just a second. But before we look at college football, Joe, one final game, Sunday Night Football. Dolphins, a 3.5-point favorite in Foxborough, taking on the Patriots. A total of 46.5. Lisa Guy, what do you like in Sunday Night Football?
Well, we got to see about the rain, right? You know, that's a factor. Yep. Supposedly, we looked at it, 20, 30 mile an hour winds that could take Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle out of that ballgame, and then it's the rushing attack. Which rushing attack do you buy into? I mean, if you know, again, I lean to the Dolphins because I think New England's completely one-dimensional. I think they could still grind it out and win this ballgame. But if there's rain, maybe we look to the under. I like Miami early on and the under 46.5, Ben.
Yeah, I think it's going to be interesting, Joe. If the weather is better in Foxborough, unlike where it was last week when the Patriots hosted the Eagles, give me Tua Tagovailoa, give me Jalen Waddle over there passing and receiving yards props, respectively, because I think they will put up some points against this Patriots team. Elsewhere, you got to worry a little bit about the Dolphins' defense. Still allowed 34 points last week against L.A., and in my estimation, Joe, that would be the one thing that holds Miami back this year, a defense that ranked bottom 10 in scoring, that still needs to grow under new defensive coordinator Vic Fangio. All right, Lisa Guy, let's talk some college football here before we round out FFC today. I said it, I'll say it again. We talked about the Rocky Mountain showdown between Colorado and Colorado State yesterday. Jay Norvell's comments about taking off your hat and glasses when you talk to grown-ups, to act like a grown-up, it's what his mother taught him. Deion Sanders responded at practice yesterday in a video that was shared out, of course, from Deion, because that's what he does. He makes everything a moment and everything is noteworthy. He said they done messed up and talked about it, and they done made it personal. Deion Sanders is a supreme motivator, Joe. We talked about it yesterday on this show, using these kind of ideas to make games matter more, and you were upset because it maybe makes it seem like Colorado won't look forward to Dan Lanning and the Oregon Ducks next week and might be focused on covering a large 23.5-point spread in favor of the Buffs for the Rocky Mountain Showdown. Well, Joe, there's a lot of attention in Boulder today. In another video came out of Deion Sanders gifting his entire Buffalo's roster new sunglasses, new shades. They're leaning in. They know it's personal. Joe, what does it mean for the Rocky Mountain Showdown tomorrow night?
Oh, Ben, I need a bottle of Tums for this game because it could be a going for the loot special. I don't think Jay Norvell could be that stupid, right, to put and give locker room and bulletin board material. I hope he saw something on film to keep it within the 23.5-point number, because now I'm going completely contrarian. There's no doubt Colorado wins, but somehow, some way, I'm hoping on a backdoor cover in Boulder. I'm taking the Rams in this matchup because I don't know one person that's not taking Colorado because of these comments, Ben.
Yeah, I don't know, Joe. I'm not going to lay the 23.5 with the Buffs. I might look at their team total over 41.5. Again, from the X's and O's, Colorado State played one game, week number one so far this season. They had a bye last week, week number two. But in that first game against another ranked Pac-12 opponent now in Wazoo, they gave up 50 points to Washington State, and Cam Ward threw for 450 yards and four touchdowns. I would look at Shador Sanders. The prop's a little bit inflated. It's 338.5, despite the fact he's gone over that in both games so far. Xavier Weaver is his favorite target. 83.5 is the prop for Weaver. $1.18 against TCU. $1.70 last week against Nebraska. There's where I would try to find some value in a game that is now personal for the Buffs. Joe, it will be fascinating to see what Colorado's line is next week on the road in Autzen. Currently, it's 14.5 in favor of Oregon. Dan Lanning had some interesting comments about Colorado after it was announced they were leaving the Pac-12 for the Big 12 earlier this summer. That game also probably going to be personal in Eugene next week.
And it's 14.5 for them against Oregon. 14.5 look ahead line against USC. So, I mean, if they lose Oregon, they're not going to be 14.5-point dogs against USC. It might be 20, right? So that's something to keep an eye out. It's always personal. But this Norvell line and what happened and what he did, it's amazing that he would do that in terms of with three days left for the week is incredible. Incredible.
Yeah. Yeah, very, very, very much so. I completely agree. Lisey, an interesting bit of line movement for Florida State Boston College. Again, some of that weather coming up the eastern seaboard affecting the New England area right now. 24.5 now is the spread for Florida State, the third-ranked Noles on the road in Chestnut Hill. The total, 46.5. Lisey, at its peak, this was 26.5. Why the movement? Solely weather-related?
Yeah, weather-related, but again, you know what? If Florida State can run it, and they could stop the run. If they have to get ugly, they could do it. They rushed for 214 last year with Trey Benson. I like the Noles.
Yeah, I don't think BC has shown us anything this year, and I mean anything. They lost to NIU, Northern Illinois, as more than a touchdown favorite. Barely beat Holy Cross last week as a 10-point favorite. More FFC, some college football thoughts next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
We're back for just a few more minutes live right here on FFC. Lisey, there's a Big Ten ACC Challenge, which normally was a college basketball thing, no longer, happening this week in college football. Six games between the two Power Five conferences, including tonight, Lisey Guy, Virginia visits College Park to take on Maryland. The Terrapins, a 14.5-point favorite, the over-under 47.5. Lisey, which way you going? Where you're looking, give us a thought or two on the rest of this college football slate.
Yeah, I don't love this game. I like Virginia with the points, though. Again, Maryland in a big spot, especially in terms of primetime, Friday night, Thursday night. They always lose or don't cover these games. So I'm taking Virginia and Tony Musket, even though they lost to JMU last week. And I like Air Force tonight. Lay in the 9.5. I think it's a bounce-back spot. They roll and cover this game. And I like Army a little with the points tonight, Ben.
I would also keep the Utah State team total under 17.5 in your docket as well. Maryland really good under Mike Locksley, Joe, in non-conference games, 13-6 against the spread, covering by an average margin of more than 8 points per game. Keep an eye on Roman Hemby as well, the back for the Terps. He is one of four running backs in the Big Ten with more than 200 rushing yards so far this year. 84.5 is his number against Virginia, who allowed a ton of yardage to both JMU, James Madison, and then Tennessee the week prior, week number one. Lisey Guy, anything else for the Saturday slate before we head out?
I like LSU. They've won four of the last five, last two by 9 points per game. That Miss State secondary gave up 340 to Arizona and Delora. Could be a huge day for Jaden Daniels. Laying 9.5, I think they roll, Ben.
Really good point there, Joe. Jaden Daniels, 248.5 is the passing yards prop. I would keep an eye on Joquavius Marks, the running back for Mississippi State. The nation's 10th leading rusher, 73.5 is his rushing yards prop. Over that in both of his opening two games this year, 123 against Arizona, 127 in the opener for the Bulldogs. SEC play in a big way tomorrow. That does it for Football Full Circle this week. He's Joe Lisi. I'm Ben Stevens. Have a great weekend, everybody.
My fellow Americans, this July, we're celebrating America's birthday at Moda Casino by giving away $1,776,000 in prize. And one lucky winner is going to take home $1 million SC. Happy 250th birthday, America. You're welcome. Download Moto Casino today.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.